So, name 120.
Amrita.
Very nice name. All the names are nice, but some are very appealing. So then, Amrita. Srila Prabhupada often translates this as nectar. So Krishna is just like nectar, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, thinking of Krishna, seeing Krishna. In all ways, Krishna is very, very pleasing. What nectar. What is that? That's one kind of drink that most relishable. In London, I know, when I was staying there, we used to prepare for Radha Gokulananda, Radha Landanishwar, very thick yogurt mixed with fruit and some sugar, and very tasty drink. We call that nectar drink. So that which is, when you drink, then you feel your whole being is enlivened. It's very nice. So all the senses become enlivened by taking that. So Krishna, any way we come in contact with him, and it is all nectar, all simply nectar, all very sweet, very tasty, very nourishing, and just concentrated bliss. That is Krishna. Amrita literally means no death. So that is a symptom or effect of, well, actually, no, first of all, it's a description of Krishna. There's no death in Krishna. He's always living. Of course, there's this pastime he enacted of apparently dying, being shot by the arrow of the hunter, Jara. But that is clearly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's just a pastime, just to Asura Vimohana Leela, that just because the demons, they like to think of Krishna as mundane. So, all right, you take this evidence that Krishna is mundane. Otherwise, Krishna had been in innumerable battles fought with from the very beginning of his life, terrible demons who even Indra was afraid of. Krishna had disposed of them in play. So there's no question of being shot in the foot by an aboriginal hunter and dying. So that's described to how Krishna, it was the time for him to leave this world, and he left, going back to his own abode. So Krishna doesn't die, and his devotees also do not die. If we come in contact with Krishna, then simply by doing so, we conquer death, we get free from death. And although the impersonalists, they desire to be free from death, but they don't have any nectar. They may get free from death in the sense of merging into the impersonal Brahman, but they don't have any nectar. They want that all sense activity will be stopped, so they cannot enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's lotus lips, the form of Krishna, the prasad of Krishna. It's all nectar. Whereas in this material world, what appears to be nectar in the beginning, that's described in Bhagavad Gita, in the mode of passion, so the sensual enjoyment, it appears to be just like nectar. But in the end, it's just like poison. Beginning nectar, end poison. And in the mode of goodness, it may be like poison in the beginning. You have to perform austerities, and be aloof from sense gratification, but it's like nectar at the end. And Krishna consciousness is nectar from the beginning and nectar all the way through. There's no cessation of that. So it's quite different to the material nectar, which even the demigods and the demons, they were fighting over nectar. That drink by taking which the demigods become as if immortal. They are known as Amara, but they have to die also. But that fortifies them, gives them great strength, and they become free from the effects of old age. But they kind of, it's not real nectar in the true sense of the term. But it's called Amrita. And even the Rahu, the demon who drank a little of the nectar, he also, even though his head was cut off, but he continued to live. The head continues to live because it had been touched by that nectar. But eventually, at the latest, with the destruction of the universe, everything will be destroyed. No life will remain. But Krishna will remain. Krishna will remain because Krishna is always beyond the influence of time. He is time. So he's truly immortal. The next name 121, Shashvatasthanu. So both Shashvata means eternal, Sthanu means firm and solid. Both these names have appeared previously in Vishnu Sahasranam. Now they're put together to mean eternally firm. Krishna is eternally solid and firm, and we can trust Krishna. Anything in this material world that appears to be firm, immovable, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Thavaranam Himalaya. Among immovable objects, I am the Himalayas. So if you go to the Himalayas, huge mountains, we cannot think of moving them. No one can move the Himalayas. But in due course of time, with the destruction of the universe, they will also be destroyed. But Krishna is eternally firm. He's fixed in his position. Unlike anything material, which, however firm and solid it may be, it is subject to destruction. Just like, to give a pertinent example, just a few years ago, it appeared that the United States of America was indisputably the most powerful country in the world. No one can challenge. There's no question. America's on top. There was even an article in Newsweek magazine after the collapse of the Soviet Union. There was an article came, a big article about American hegemony.
Worldwide.
I wrote a letter to them. They published it, saying that America is the most stupid society that ever existed. They published it also. I put it in a little more sophisticated terms than that. But it seemed that nothing, there's no one, and there's no nation can ever come anywhere near to the United States. And in a short time we see now it's still the most powerful in many ways, but it's clearly on the way down. Everyone knows. No one's even pretending. Serious commentators, they all know it's on the way down. So, however solid and powerful and firm it may seem, it's not Shashvatasthana. Within a very short time, its might collapses. And some other power will come up. Now China is coming up. So that may become most powerful. But that won't last. Can guarantee it now. And as Kali Yuga goes on, the amount of time that these empires last becomes shorter and shorter, just like the Roman Empire lasted for some, how long? 800 years or something. Then after that, there was the Byzantine Empire was the leftovers of the Roman Empire in the East. Then there was Turkey was a great power after that, and Turkey and Austria-Hungary, two great powers in Europe for some hundreds of years. And British power was maximum 150 years. And America, maybe they had maybe total 60, 70 years. So, sit properly. This is not the way to sit in class, like you're on the beach. So, 60, 70 years, and then down. But it can be powerful again. As Srila Prabhupada in Britain said to one of the lords of Britain who he met, he said, Britain can again rule the world if you just take a little advice from me. So America can be most powerful if they take advice from Prabhupada, but unfortunately they don't seem to be very much inclined to take advice from anyone. So Krishna is eternally firm. He's eternally firm in his promise to his devotees that one time only, if one surrenders to me, that Lord Rama says, is very famous in the Tengalai branch of the Ramanuja Sabha. Sakrit deva prapanno yas tavasmiti tayachate. He says, if one only once surrenders to me and in full faith says, and now I am surrendered to Ram, his vrata, his firm vow is that I will protect that devotee. I will accept that devotee. So he's firm in his vow. Krishna is eternally firm. He's firm, eternally solid. There's no question of him collapsing or not being able to do what he sets out to do. He maintains the whole universe. Everything is kept in order. The laws of nature, which the scientists study, the laws of physics, they are maintained by Krishna because he's able to maintain everything. He has the strength to keep everything in order. He's the firm basis of everything. Even the earth, we have faith in the earth as being solid. So when we walk, we have faith with it. It will support me. But sometimes you put your foot in something and it looks like it's solid, but actually it's soft. The ground has become soft from rain and you put your foot in it, plumps down in the mud. Or there can be quicksand or swamp in which you put your foot and it doesn't support you at all. You fall down and down and down. Or the land may be very firm, but then there's an earthquake and it all shivers and opens up. So even the earth is very firm, but we take shelter of the earth, but the earth can pull us in also, or not be completely firm. But Krishna is completely and always firm and solid. So, name 122. Vararoha. This means he is the supreme object of attainment, is one meaning. And another meaning is that he is of excellent ascent. That means he goes up very nicely. So the supreme object of attainment. Everyone in this world, they want to get something. Even the tiny little insects, they're looking for some food. If a mosquito dies, you don't see many mosquitoes here probably, but, and nor ants much, but in India if you see maybe some housefly just dies, then within a few minutes the ants will be all out to pull the body of the housefly. They're always out scouting, looking for something, trying to get something. And in human society, unlike the animals who have limited scope or limited ambition, and the animals, just like the birds, they may go out and bring some straw to make their nest. They're interested in food and shelter and sex. These are the basic objects of attainment for animals and birds. But in human life that is expanded. There are so many more objects of attainment. And the people want to be the best. They want to be seen as better than others. So in this way, they like to get a big house and a big car and show themselves. They want to get more and more and more, especially in the modern consumer age. People are very concerned to. It's not there in all cultures, actually. Because in the modern culture, people presume, or it's like that, that it's geared toward get more, get more, get more. We presume that all people are like that, and it's a natural human tendency. But it's not necessarily so. In Brahmin culture, in pure Brahmin culture, people, they're trained, their culture is to not want more, to not accept more than they need, and to deliberately live with very little. And even if they're offered more and more free, they won't take it. There are many instances of Brahmanas who were offered so many things, but they refused to take it. Of course, we take if we are offered, because we want to use it. We have a preaching mission. We want to use everything in the service of Krishna. And we have many things to do, temples to build, books to print. But it's not that the Brahmanas don't have any object of attainment, but it's nothing material. They want to. Their aim and object is spiritual advancement. And they see material acquisition as an obstacle in the path of spiritual acquisition. Therefore, they don't accept material objects. So they have a higher object of attainment. They're not interested in making. Even we find the Brahmanas, several times you find in Shastra that the king gives the whole world to the Brahmanas. And they say, well, thank you, all right, but actually, we don't want it. You can take it back. So even if they're offered the whole world, very easily they won't take it. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, with great difficulty, he was able to conquer the world, only after performing great austerities. The king may conquer the whole world, then give it to the Brahmanas, and they won't take it. But does that mean that they're not ambitious? Not materially ambitious, but they have the aim of spiritual emancipation. So that is their object of attainment, but the supreme object of attainment is Krishna, upon attaining to whom, one is fully satisfied, yena atma supersedati. By performing devotional service to Krishna, one is fully satisfied. That means that one does not desire anything else. Krishna is that nectar for which we are always anxious. And attaining Krishna, we don't desire anything else. So therefore is the supreme object of attainment. And getting Krishna, if we say, well, we get Krishna, but then you didn't, okay, so you got, all right, you're happy chanting Hare Krishna, but you didn't get a big house and a big car, and you didn't become a big lawyer or something like this, so you missed other things. But no, when we get Krishna, we get everything. We get everything, because Krishna is complete. And even, all right, you didn't get a big house and a big car, you may get that in Krishna's service also. But whether or not one gets it, one cares not a fig. Because when one gets Krishna, then whether or not one has such things, one doesn't care at all. Because one is completely satisfied. When one doesn't feel, because I don't have a big house and a big car and name and fame, I'm missing something. Not at all. When one has got Krishna, one is fully satisfied. As in the case of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone. The touchstone can bring immense wealth, but Sanatana Goswami has no use for that, because he's simply sitting and chanting the holy names, fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is the supreme object of attainment. The karmis, they want material objects. The jnanis, they want liberation from this world. The yogis, they want to get some mystic power. They're all discontent. But the devotees of Krishna are fully content because they have Krishna. Krishna bhakta nishkam atayiv shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta. Devotees of Krishna are fully peaceful and satisfied at heart. They have no desire. If no desire means their only desire is to attain Krishna, and they attain Krishna, then no desire. Whereas others, karmis, jnanis, yogis, they're all discontent because the goal they seek is not that which will give any true satisfaction to the soul. So Krishna is the supreme object of attainment. And he is of excellent ascent. Means he goes up very nicely. We can see him riding upward on the back of Garuda. So in this way, it's Krishna goes up. Very nice to see how Krishna rises up. Oh, that, of course, that point that Krishna is the supreme object of attainment means that nothing, everything is inferior to Krishna. That's the point. That's another way of saying that Krishna is supreme. Everything is inferior to him. Or he is of excellent ascent means that he's lying on Adi Shesha, who's very big, so he's very high up, lying on Adi Shesha. Yeah, another point that even generally the Mayavadis or the impersonalists, they think that the supreme object of attainment is simply to be merged in impersonal Brahman. But even if they attain that, still they have further to go. It's not the supreme. That is beyond this material world, but even beyond that which is beyond this material world is attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay, any question about this? Yeah. Sometimes in devotional service it may seem difficult, just like getting up. Yeah, in the beginning, well, that's understood. The one's not fully on the spiritual platform. But Krishna consciousness is all nectar. It may seem difficult getting up, but when you get up, there's Krishna. So it's all nectar. You may say it feels difficult like this and that, but you find so many devotees, they were living as brahmacharis in the ashram, and they think, oh, this is too tough. Let me go outside. I'll live in my own life separately. But later they'll look back and say, actually, that was the best time of my life. Austere maybe, but all nectar, actually. You don't may not appreciate it while you have it. Are there many commentaries on Vishnu Sahasranam? There are unlimited commentaries on Vishnu Sahasranam, but not that many known in this world at the present time. Otherwise, all the devotees are always glorifying Krishna for his various activities, names, forms, pastimes. So Krishna is always being glorified unlimitedly. But known commentaries here are mentioned. Well, there's Shankaracharya's commentary. There's Parashara Bhatta's commentary, Radha Krishna. Shastri's commentary, and one by Chinmayananda. So this... Oh, Baladev Vidyabhushan, of course, yeah. So, I'm working with 5 commentaries here. So, anything else? In a certain sense, when Brahmacharya is forced to leave an ashram for not being a proper Brahmacharya. And then he's not fit to live as a Brahmacharya. Please go wash your hand and don't put it in your mouth. Did you read my book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada? You remember that incident, Prabhupada telling the baby had the hand in the mouth. Prabhupada had the mother take outside. Yeah. No, Brahmachari means there are rules and regulations to follow. If you don't follow, then you shouldn't be in the Brahmachari ashram.
What if he's following the regulations and for the most part he's doing the best he can, but every once in a while he just comes late to the program, and maybe just 2 minutes every once in a while he...
What do you mean by... what's the question? If you're late a few minutes sometimes, yeah, don't be late. Better. Always try for the best. Always try to do the best you can. Yeah. I'll take any more questions on the Vishnu Sahasranama, not just general questions, no. Madhvacharya, he also made a commentary on. Yeah, not that he would make 1,000 meanings, but he would offer 1,000 meanings. Yeah.
And so, are those his realizations? Are these the realizations of the devotees?
Realization means, yeah, Krishna inspires within the heart. All knowledge comes from Krishna. Anything else? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.